Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, my. Good morning. I am so grateful for God today. You know, I'm really grateful for God every day, but it's just something about this morning that I'm just so grateful to God for. The 15th day of November, and we have so much to be grateful for. So many people are complaining and just not satisfied with what God has already done for them. But me, I'm just grateful. I mean, yes, God can do more or he could do less because he's already done enough. But that's a whole nother message. And so, as you know, this is not only your birth month, but it's also the twins' birth month. And so, for those of you who don't know, I'm a Nana now. I've just been a few days of being a Nana, so I'm so grateful for that. My mom, my aunt, and my uncles and stuff, they got to have that experience. And I'm grateful that I, too, now get the opportunity to have the experience. And so I see that Minister Sheila, her phone keeps dropping. So I will see if she calls back in so that she could pray with us and for us. And if she doesn't, then I will pray. Then I will open up the line so that everyone can tell the three things that, or more, things that they're grateful for, that they're thankful for. I mean, I love how November is actually set aside for a month of Thanksgiving, even though that we know that we have Thanksgiving to God daily throughout. So I will go ahead and begin with prayer. Father God, we repent of sins of commission and omission. Any deed that was thought, any deed that was said, any deed that was conceived in our hearts, anything that was even our minds that has not lined up with your agape love, with your divine will, with your way. We know that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but God, we pray that we would ask you, God, show us your way. Show us your will. Show us your thoughts and help us to want what you want, to hate what you hate, to love what you love, and to do things your way. God, many are calling themselves Christians and believers based off of a familiar spirit, but God, they're denying the power of who you really are. God, teach us who you really are and who you need to be in our lives. God, I ask you that you will be the center of everything that we do and say. God, it's time out for playing church. It's time out for wanting you on Sunday or only on days that we assemble with the saints, whether it's virtually or physically. But God, cause us to fall in love with you. Unlike a way we've ever fallen in love with a person, unlike a way that we've ever loved our parents, our siblings, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, but God, cause us to have an intimacy with you that cannot be broken. God, no matter where we are, let us want to show everybody that we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We serve the God of Molly and George C. God, we serve the God of their children, and we are their children's children. God, help us to pass down the love of God to our seed and our seed's seed. Cause us to be walking, living examples of your love. God, it doesn't matter what political party we're a part of and what political motives or agendas we may have. But God caused everything to line up with your will. Cause us to want what you want when you want it. Help us to walk in the timing of God. For God, your timing is perfect because you're perfect. And we thank you for perfecting us. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. God, your love, we learn more and more about your love every day. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your angels that are encamped all around. For you protect us, for you are our refuge and our fortress. And we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. We know that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we will say, the Lord, that you are our refuge and our fortress. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for healing America. And thank you for causing America to humble ourselves, to seek you first, God, to turn from our wicked ways. Many of us are asking for healing, but we're not turning from our wicked ways. Many of us are asking for this or that, God, but we're not doing what you've told us. Many of us are looking for a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a miracle, signs, and wonders. But, God, first, we need to give our all to you. Teach us, God, in the name of Jesus. Have your way. Have your way today and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I have the lines open, and I want everyone to take this time to think about, you know, those things you're grateful for, those things you're thankful for. I mean, many of us take oxygen, just being able to have oxygen and CO2 exchange in our lungs for granted. We take for granted that we're able to walk and talk and those things that seem so automatic. And in many cases, even people may think of them as frivolous. Those things that we may not even think to thank you for. Sitting in a car, driving in a car, sitting in doesn't break. A matter of fact, even seeing the cheer, because people are out here and they're seeing all types of illusions, but they're not seeing what's reality. So thank God, whatever he's giving you to thank him for. So the lines are open for you to thank God for whatever you want to thank him for. The lines are open.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to say excuse me for coming in late, but my phone just wouldn't act right. I just want to thank the Lord for letting the devil know you ain't going to win with me this morning for not participating in this service. But I thank the Lord for waking me up, because I know if it wasn't for him, we would not be here. I'm just going to thank the Lord for everybody, because yet we're here to be blessed and praised and to love and cherish the life that God has given us, and to help us with the knowledge and the way to improve what the devil might be trying to take us the wrong way. I just thank the Lord for my family that we are here and to worship and to treasure his blessings of life. And I just want to thank the Lord, for he is the Father and I am his daughter and I am here. And I just want to thank him and thank him and thank him for another blessed, safe, and loving day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sheila. Anyone else?
Good morning, Saints. This is Minister Margot. I just want to thank God for another day and thank him for healing me. I've been going through something the last few days, and I just want to thank God for feeling better. Thank him for his healing power, knowing that healing is a process. And I just thank him and praise him and worship him and magnify him because he loves me. He loves us. And we can count on him. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. So everything that we experience, he knows about it. And he is going to help us through it. I just ask you to continue to pray for me as I continue to look to God and believe him above all and believe his word. Be blessed. I love you guys.
Amen. We love you as well. Thank you, Minister Margo. And thank you, Minister Sheila. Anyone else like to share some of the things that you're thankful for? Well, while we're waiting for others, I just want to thank God for Minister Brandon and his wife, Michaela, and their two bundles of joy. One was 6 pounds, and the other one, she was 5 pounds, 10 ounces. And so they're new parents, and they were discharged from the hospital, but then the babies were readmitted because their temperatures were not usually high. You know, usually people have problems keeping their temperatures down, but these babies, they were actually suffering from a type of hypothermia. Their temperatures wouldn't stay up. And so I pray that the babies were allowed to go home on last night. I'll check in with Minister Brandon and his wife and see. But people don't realize how we may think it's hot in the house and the babies are thinking it's comfortable. And so Minister Brandon and his wife are learning that they can wrap up all they want to, but when it comes to the babies, they have to make sure that the house is really toasty, is nice enough for them. Because a little breeze across a little baby like that face can, you know, cause them to have problems. And so we forget about that, even with the elderly. And so my mom used to always say, once an adult, twice a child. And it's really so true that we go through times where whether people want to acknowledge it or not, sometimes you end up wearing diapers twice when you're born and before you leave here. And so there are so many things, whether you're dealing with teeth, hair loss, I mean, just different things that really reminds us once an adult and twice a child. So some of the things that I want to share with you that I'm grateful for is just for God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, life. And as Minister Margo and Minister Sheila said, family. There are so many families that take their family for granted, and then they go to their homecomings or homegoings, and they're bawling all over the casket, and why me, why me? You should have taken me. I mean, just really acting out. I looked at and watched the homegoing service for, excuse me, Rance Allen. And it was very touching. I love how they showed him love. But I also like some of the things that they were saying about him. Excuse me. I like how they reminded us that not only did he sing, but he lived it. I remember the Clark sisters saying that their mom taught them that they needed to live what they were singing about. Can you imagine that? Living what we sing about, living what we preach about, living what we pray about. Wow, to be true walking epistles of God. Many people run from the call of God for that very reason. many people don't want to deal with the correction of God. And every time God corrects us, it does not come in a form of harsh treatment. It doesn't come in a form of correction as in the way our parents have corrected us, or the way God, had to correct Peter and the different people. Sometimes the correction is a simple, small voice that says, don't do this. Don't say that. Don't go there. That protection. And I'm so honored that God loves us so much that he protects us. He causes us to walk in humility and humbleness. And if we want to, he'll give us his wisdom. For he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and that he would give it liberally. Can you imagine the liberality of God? We think that, our parents loved us liberally, or our parents gave us this, or our loved ones, our significant other, our spouses did this for us, and we did this for our spouses. But the liberality of God, when God is liberal, that is so amazing. I mean, even when Prophet Antoine was teaching, and Apostle Thomas in the past, and how they taught about how just a finger touch from God is greater than any touch from mankind. Because remember, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's everywhere. So just a touch, my, just a breath from God, it's phenomenal. Imagine if he just touched America with his finger. The pandemic would be gone. If he just touched America with his love and they accepted it, these crazy politics and motives and hatred and sexism and racism, it would be gone. But God is so loving and so kind that he doesn't want robots, but he made us people that are free agents. We have the right, we have the will to decide to worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to do that. Or we can reject him. And some people, whether they're into Scientology or all of these other cults and religions, they don't understand that some of them are serving gods that they have to die for. But we serve a God that died for us. He sent his only begotten Son to die for us, and he rose again, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for Minister Margot as he's making her whole, for Minister Sheila as he's protecting her on all of these various jobs that she goes on, where she's the protection. You know, that in itself is a whole message that Minister Sheila could preach. But God has caused her to work in a job where she's the one responsible for guarding things. She's the one responsible for protecting people, protecting property. But God protects us. He has his angels from the north, the south, the east, and the west surrounding us, encamped all around us. And I'm thankful. When your light bill is paid, my, I'm thankful. When you have food in your refrigerator and your freezer, I'm thankful. When I can go from point A to point B, I'm thankful. When I can get on this line, whether it's on a Sunday, a Monday, or a Friday, and I can hear God speak through Minister Margot as she exhorts us, as she ministers to us about what thus says the Lord, when I get on this line and I hear Minister Sheila pray, when I get on this line and I hear Minister Sylvia praying and teaching, and Dr. Wright, who's wrote a book that says the last prescription you'll ever need, and it's not talking about medication, my. When I can hear Prophet Anson get on here and prophesy and teach and preach to us about how good God is, when I can hear Servant Pastor Troy speak about things that happen in life and they happen for real, be transparent and let people know, yeah, I messed up, but guess what? And then to know that I know that I know that I know, it took me a while to get to the point that when people rehearsed the things that I had did, my shortcomings, instead of me getting upset about it, I learned to praise God every time they would remind me of stuff that I did wrong. It was another reason for me to praise God. Because he's a strong deliverer. If God can save me, he can save anybody. People are like, oh, no, you weren't that bad. You didn't do. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. We don't have no big sins and no little sins. We don't have no, I did it 100 times and you did it 2 times. Sin is sin. And it doesn't matter. You don't know if you did it on that one time that you could be wiped out, or if it's on that 100th time that you could be wiped out. Because, see, the enemy of our soul, he does not care if he's in there with 100 of us or 1 million of us. He just don't want to. But, saints, we've got to want him to be alone in that lake of fire. We've got to want him to be alone in that condemnation. So as we introduce God to his people, we have to know without a shadow of a doubt that even, let's look at these two scriptures right here. Rather, it's more than two scriptures, but Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught and overflowing with thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. In our hearts, everybody. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, not all of these different things that people say in all of these ways to God. He said there's only one way, and that one way is Jesus Christ. So let's go on. I'll start back over with the beginning verse. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and to be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach. We got some teachers on the line. And admonish one another. We got some evangelists and prophets on the line. With all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God. With gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I know I said one or two verses, but I have a few more. Colossians 4 and 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. We got some prayer warriors and intercessors on this line. Being watchful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. My. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, see, we're kingdom-minded people because we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The fire of God. The fire of God that is consuming. My. Hebrews 13:15-16 through Jesus. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that the fruits of our lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good, to share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. My. Not only is God pleased, but we were just reminded that he is our all-consuming fire. To know that whatever sickness or disease or different things that we're going through, if he doesn't heal us on this side of heaven, we know we're going to be healed and made whole when we reign with him. It really blessed me when my mom was dealing with congestive heart failure and the different things, how she still professed her wholeness and her healing in God. Because she knew that it didn't matter what it looked like or sound like on this side of heaven, but that when she got to be with God, that she would be in her perfected, incorruptible body. My God. We have that to look for. That when we reign with God, when we reign with Jesus, that we will be perfected. No more pain, my God. No more sorrow. No more disappointment, my God. No more hatred and sexism and racism, these systemic things that we've had to deal with as a race of people just because of the color of our skin. Not that we did something to someone to merit their dislike or to merit their unforgiveness, but just because of the color of our skin. Just because that we were made to be born as daughters and not sons. And China, they don't want all of these daughters being born. They want to give people a quota of how many children they can have. And not only that, they want you to have more boys than girls. Well, here in America, we may not have a quota, but they sure treat us different. Here in America, you can be more educated. You can have more degrees and more money and more whatever from your family, but when you go to your job, or as they say, your jobby job, when you go here and there, there is a difference made. Even today in 2020, you can look at the salaries that men and women make and look at their experience, and many times you may see that the woman was never even given the opportunity to have that job or to have that salary. But God is an equalizer, and that's what I love about God. He's an equalizer. If you go to God and you talk to him about the things that are troubling you, it's amazing how sometimes he will equalize the playing ground, and sometimes you will make more than that person that they had set up as the golden child. They tried to give that person a job, but you got promoted. I was listening to Prophet Antoine talk about how he got promoted and he had been on the job less than 6 months. It was really less than that. But my point is that those people couldn't accept the job because that job was his. God will cause people to turn down jobs, to move just because the door is being opened for you. Share a quick testimony. The job that I'm in, they had selected someone else, and I was an alternate. And they really wanted this person. She didn't look like me. I'm going to be honest. She wasn't my skin color. Let's keep it real. There were some attributes about her that they wanted because they wanted to change the makeup of the way the people looked where I work at, because it was too many people that looked the same way. Mm-hmm. And we know they do this. So when I came, they made sure, they let me know, you know, you wasn't their first choice. You was this, you was that. And I laughed, and no one understood how, when everyone kept telling me that I wasn't the leadership's first choice, how I thought it was funny. And the reason that I thought it was so funny was because I knew that the person couldn't accept the job, because I had asked God for the job. So because of the favor of God, I received the job, and the person that they wanted so bad turned it down. But let's not stop right there. I want you to know, within 8 years, this had went through Within 8 years, they had went through 13 supervisors, directors. I was the 14th. So as they were going through these people and God was preparing me for this place, I didn't know. When I was working with the 10 men who didn't like me because I used to be in the Army, and they didn't like me because I was black and they was white, when I was going through the various people mistreating me and doing me wrong, and me asking God for wisdom of how to handle this and how to handle that, when I was going through my supervisor who was a mentor to me, and he was having me put on 13 hats at a time instead of one or two hats like my colleagues, I didn't understand, why is he pouring all this into me? Why do I got to know how to do all this stuff? I haven't been here but a few years. These people been here forever. And this man, he was a Jewish man. He asked me for my goals when I got there. And once I gave him my goals, he just was like, you sure that's what you want? Are you sure that's what you want? I said, yes. And he just worked me, and he worked me. I mean, it seemed like I could never go home. I was working so many hours, and he was just pouring into me. And I was getting upset because he was working me so hard, and I was working so many hours. I was like, what's wrong with this man? Why does he think I'm Superwoman? I was like, what is wrong? And all of a sudden, I started noticing that I was passing people up that had been there a very long time. And I was like, okay, I came here. That person was 3 grades higher than me. Now I'm 2 grades higher than them. And so I was just looking around, and God was just setting me up, and he was opening doors. And I'm being naive to everything. I'm not knowing what's going on. I'm going to prayer. We had a prayer at 5 in the morning, and we had it every day. So I was at prayer every day, and I was being an armor bearer for Apostle, and I was serving in Chicago and going to these different places and going through all of these different experiences that appeared to be so hard. Again, I said appeared to be. They appeared to overwhelm me. They appeared to be knocking me down and knocking me out, and I will call for the prayers of the elders, and I will call Apostle and ask her to pray for me, and I will call Dr. Wright and Elder Kendall and my mom and different people and ask them to pray for me, because even while I was in the military, I didn't understand that God was setting me up. He was showing me how to protect a nation through being in the Army, when I didn't know that I was going to be learning how to protect the nation in prayer. I mean, I can just go back over and over and over again of all of the things that God was teaching me. He taught me how to teach. I was an airborne school where I had to learn how to teach these people who some of them were educated and some of them weren't, but I had to teach people how to save the lives of this person or that person, you know, use a tourniquet, how to tear off their pants legs and do this and do that, and how to take the person's gauze out their pocket and save their lives. And so I'm learning how to do all of these things in the military. I'm learning how to fight as I'm fighting to go to school and fighting to come home on the west side of Chicago. I'm learning how people are getting shot all around me, but yet God is protecting me. But I, you know, understand
where is all of this stuff in life leading up to? You know, growing up as a child and my parents are overprotective of me and my sister is overprotective of me. I mean, how is all of this leading to my future? And then I had to look back and I sought God, and he allowed me when I turned 40 to go to Jerusalem and go to the Jordan and just all the things that he allowed me to experience that set me up for this job that I'm in. And I said, okay, so I've been here since 2014 when I started the job, and nobody else has been there in this position as long as me. And I'm asking God, how long? How long do I have to be there? And then God showed me something. I wasn't there for me. I was there for the people that had suffered the racism and the sexism that was systemically put in place, and that it was institutionalized and people were suffering. And see, everybody else was running from the call. They didn't want to go through all of that. They were going to probably God saying, you don't pay me enough for this. And I was like, okay, God, what's going on? But sometimes God will allow you to experience prejudice and racism and sexism to give you firsthand knowledge of what it looks like, of what it feels like. Do you know microaggressions are still prejudice? But people are so skilled in their microaggressions. But the problem is a lot of people that are giving out the microaggressions don't even know they're doing it. They've been taught all the time that they were more than you because of your skin color. They'll say stuff like, do you watch Cops? Do you watch this? Do you watch that? Because they know that they're being racist in some cases, in other cases they don't. Some people will say, oh, you grew up on the west side or the south side, you sound intelligent. That's a microaggression. What are you trying to say, that everybody that grows up in the inner, that's a whole nother message in itself. But God taught me how all of the things that happened to me in my life, good, bad, and in some cases things that I didn't understand at the time, were setting me up to take care of his people. And although many of them thought that I was hard, many of them thought that I was whatever, he used this one girl, and I have to be honest, she put in all types of complaints against me, and I do mean real complaints. And in the end, when they said, case dropped, she came to me and she said, I apologize. God sent you here just for me. Everything that God allowed me to teach her, she used to get the job that she's in right now. She no longer works for me, but she works for someone else. And she said that although she had been there as long as she had, no one challenged her to her full capabilities the way God used me to challenge her. Now, you may say, well, that's no big deal. It is when that person has been telling everybody you've singled them out. But in the end, they found out that I was challenging everybody to be their best. I wanted everyone to know their capabilities. And I had to pray to God for him to show me their capabilities, because the leadership wanted me to come in there and clean house. Like I said, because too many of them looked like me. But God allowed me to come into that job and see the potential of everyone and to challenge them to either walk in that potential, and in some cases they decided not. And in some cases I did have to let people go. But the one thing I realized is if we ask God for his will, if we ask God for his wisdom, if we ask God, why are we still here? He'll let you know. Now I understand why I am still there. And now my only question to God is, Let me know, God, when you're finished using me. And when you're finished using me, where do you want me to go next? So as you walk through the course and the journey of life, make sure you're asking God, what's next for me? Because until you take your last breath, you are still a walking, living epistle of God, read of men, and God still has a purpose and a destiny for you. That's right, just for you. Minister Sheila can't do what Minister Margot is assigned, because God has Minister Margot's assignment and he has Minister Sheila's assignment. I cannot do what he has Prophet Antoine to do, because Prophet Antoine has his own ministry that God has assigned to him. We're on the world wide web. Somebody's going to hear your message if God allows the world to tarry 10 years, 20 years from now. And it's going to be just what they needed to catapult them into the next level of God. Not only thank God for the good things in your life, thank him for the things you're yet to understand. Thank him for the things that have challenged you. Thank him for the things that you haven't even liked. Thank him for the times that he told you to slow down and you didn't, so he had to allow things to happen, whether it was a cold or whatever it was, to make you slow down so that you could get that rest he told you to get. We have to learn that the ministry of God is 24/7, and part of that ministry is resting. If Jesus rested, if God rested, why do we try to just keep going and going and going like we're that battery on the commercial that just keeps going and going and going? We need to obey God. We need to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we need to give him the thanksgiving that he is due, for we enter into his gates and his courts with praise and worship and thanksgiving. And we lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge him. We seek him early when he can be found. We seek him with our whole heart. And people see us seeking him. They see us reverencing him. They see us worshiping him. They see us. And then they say, I want to serve their God. So when you're thinking about the things that you want to thank God for the rest of today and on next Sunday, remember everything that happened to you in your life, from birth until you leave here, it's been orchestrated by the master conductor, and his name is God. That's all I have, Minister Sheila.
Thank you, Apostle Electa, for the beautiful lessons, words, and encouragement, and the knowledge God has put into you to bring to us. I just want to say thank you and thank you and thank you. I just want to say the lines are open for anyone that has a statement, a testimony, or any remarks or words for the Apostle Elect, or just words that God has filled you to share. The lines are open.
Good morning, Saints. I just wanted to thank Apostle for her words of encouragement and realizing that we each have a role that only we can play in God's kingdom. And I want to encourage her to continue doing what God has for you to do. And thank you so much for bringing the word with power and conviction to us today. and be blessed of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Minister Malcolm McCoy, for his words. Are there anyone else? Well, I just want to thank God, our Father, and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, and the spirits and the angels and all our heavenly family. I just want to thank and to ask and to pray to God to help me and show me the way, and how to deal with the world, the way the devil's attacking me, and to prepare me to get my life into order, more into order for him, so he can guide me and show me the way so I can get my life prepared to move on into him and to create more understanding and love, and to guide me in the way that he can lead me to my own way of life, and to keep me safe, and to never know that whatever it is he has for me, I am his daughter, and how he will guide me and show me the way, and to know that he has the answers. And I thank God, and I thank him for each day that he blessed me for another day. I say, Lord, I thank you, and for what you have for me, just show me the way so I can do and please it, and to do it the way that will honor and treasure and show you that I do love you, and I thank you for loving me, because yet I am here to follow your directions. I just want to say, God, I thank you and thank you. And I never stop thanking. I wake up, I thank you, because I know I didn't have to wake up, but I thank you. And I know you didn't have to bless me, but I thank you. And I thank you. And I thank you. The lines are open. Is there anyone else that has words to say? May I give honor to God and the Father and the Son for blessing us to have another day to lead us into this November month, and to bless us and to lead us to join in with our families however we can for this Thanksgiving, and to help us and keep us safe from this ugly virus that's going through, that we be able to communicate with each other and hopefully to be blessed to have a gathering for the Thanksgiving, but each day is a Thanksgiving, because we have to thank you, because you have given us another day. I just want to thank God and thank God for all that have spoken, and to ask each and every one of you, if you can, to tell your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, to listen to us each and every Sunday morning. For Let's Talk with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Brandon, at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Monday nights, which is on Blog Talk and Facebook, with Iron Sharpen Iron, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Friday nights, which is Blog Talk and Facebook, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas, at 9 p.m. Eastern, Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and to hopefully tune in to us, with us, tomorrow night, Monday night, for Blog Talk and Facebook, and I believe our wonderful speaker is Minister Margot McCoy, the woman that has knowledge and words and testimonies to lead us through and to have the teaching of God. I just want to thank each and every one of you all for listening and for tuning in, and to remember we are here through the blessing and the love and the grace of God. It's not for your alarm, your neighbor, or your noise, because without God, you would not have made through it today to hear, feel, or to see anything. I just want to say, is there anyone else, or apostle, you have any words or statements before we close out? just want to thank God for all of us and to remember our foundational scriptures, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And just remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it is, give it to God. He can give you the best answers, the right way, and the best direction that you could ever imagine. When I say have a blessed day, remember, God is the maker. He's the beginning and the end. Amen and amen. Bye. Have a blessed one.
Bye-bye. I love you.
Love you all too.